Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, we've often talked about on this show how it isn't that hard to incite a populist uprising on just about any issue of the day. A four-year-old can do that. It's really not that difficult because the populist message is pretty easy. Populism only has to incite the riot. It doesn't have to govern, doesn't have to lead, doesn't have to do any of those things. And the challenge is we've allowed that to seep further and further into our culture and further into our distrust of institution. And it's really created a framing that makes it very difficult to move the country, to move the economy forward. A fantastic piece at Deseret.com by Michael Kofed talking about this very issue of populism enabling and empowering this negative sum thinking. Michael's an assistant professor of economics at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, research fellow at the Institute of Labor and Economics, and we will give a Go Wildcats shout-out. He is a graduate from Weber State University as well as the University of Georgia. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Boyd, for having me on. It's fun to be on my hometown radio.
Yeah, it's always good to pull the hometown talent back. And you wrote a brilliant piece at Deseret.com talking about this whole idea of populism and where it has actually led us, particularly as it relates to the economy. Explain that for us.
Yeah, you bet. And so whenever we're teaching a principles of economics class here at almost any university, it starts out that when we have free markets and free enterprise, that transactions are inherently positive sum or win-win. I only buy a product if I derive more value for it than the price I pay, and sellers will only sell to me if they can net a price greater than their own costs. And so this is kind of the foundation of economic thinking, is how can transactions, relationships, and human interactions generate more welfare for everyone that is involved. However, as we can also see, it derives down, sometimes we see in our society, zero-sum thinking, which is the idea that for me to gain, someone else has to lose. But what we see right now with the kind of streak of populism in our political society is that I actually am interested in not only gains anymore, but making sure that my opponent loses more than I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
And so this kind of becomes a punching match where essentially I'm happy to cut my nose off to spite my face as long as I can hurt the other person in this transaction.
Yeah, and it becomes all part of that grievance mentality too. It's a whole lot of the us and them thing that has just been percolating throughout the country and really around the world. It's not just the U.S. and the U.S. economy. We've been seeing this in governments around the world. You pointed out in your piece this very thing that throughout history, a lot of nations and economies have faltered because they get stuck in that zero-sum trap.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you think of it about conflict, before I was at Tennessee, I taught at West Point, and I taught national security economics. And, you know, war and battle and conflict is harmful because everyone essentially loses at the end. And so what we are trying to do is hopefully, through our market society, encourage human thriving by increasing the win-win opportunities. One of the things I think is so ironic is that Adam Smith wrote The Wealth of Nations that really pointed out this need for cooperation in 1776, which is the exact same year the Declaration of Independence was signed. And so the founders kind of borrowed his ideas about how can we work together as opposed to against each other to have a more prosperous union.
Yeah, and being able to get back to that, I think, is such a crucial thing, especially at this juncture, I think, that we find our nation and the world in. That if we continue down that zero sum, and as you described it, it's even zero sum worse, because it's not enough to be zero sum. I got to make sure there's a price to pay or something to exact from my opponent to make their life worse, not just zero sum. How do we change that dynamic, and how do we start to move that forward, both on a community level and then nationally and internationally?
Sure. I think the first important is helping recognize other people, even if they look different than me or they have a different political philosophy as me, as, you know, inherently human beings that we can learn from and that we can work with. We're not always going to agree on everything, but if we push each other to try to figure out how both sides can be more happy, I think that's a huge step forward. I think also as we realize that most human beings actually want what's best for their communities and what's best for their families, it makes it really hard to hate the other person. And this is kind of what we can also see in our economic models. In areas where there's higher amount of social capital and social trust, there's greater intergenerational mobility. Some work by my colleagues, Raj Chetty, for example, shows that Salt Lake City metro area has the highest amount of intergenerational mobility because it also has the highest amount of social trust. And so I think as we can see each other as human beings and the dignity that that comes with, that then it'll be easier for us to try to reach a win-win.
That social capital is so important. And I always go back to Abraham Lincoln, who was an authentic leader, who recognized that we have to get past the zero sum. And he even described the role, the purpose of government being to elevate the condition of man, to lift artificial weights from all shoulders, to clear the path of laudable pursuits for all, to afford all an unfettered start and a fair chance in the race of life. And a lot of that is through connection. Lincoln did it through building waterways and roads and things to connect people, not just to economics, but to other people, so that social capital could really begin to grow.
That's right. That's right. I mean, one of the fascinating things Lincoln also did for local is he was the first one to authorize the Transcontinental Railroad and how that connected people and had a huge part to do with Utah's history as well.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things I love about Adam Smith is we talk about his book, Wealth of Nations, but he has another book, The Theory of Moral Sentiments, where he says man naturally desires to not be loved, but also be lovely or something that someone would actually want to love. And so that's kind of how we as human beings do is we want to be part of that society that will allow us to boost human thriving.
Yeah. And so give me one thing as we close out. Give me the therefore what component to all of this. What should we be thinking differently? What should we be doing differently to get to that win-win and to actually move forward together?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest steps is when we hear someone tell us that, you know, we are the victim, we can't choose for ourselves, but rather we can think to ourselves, I have agency, I have the ability to see my neighbor as a human being, and that as we work together, we can do great things as our community.
Fantastic. It's a great piece. You should check that out at Deseret.com. Again, Michael Kofed, Assistant Professor of Economics at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, Research Fellow at the Institute of Labor Economics, and, of course, a former Wildcat. So we add that to the bonus list today because that's the ultimate win-win. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Fantastic piece, great thinking, great writing. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Boyd. Go Wildcats.
All right, there you go. Mike Kofed, great perspective there. And it is one of the things that I worry about regularly is this populism that's sort of unhinged from principle and good policy is detrimental to where we're trying to go as a society. And so we have to figure out where not the zero-sum thinking, but that win-win, that value add, where can I make a difference? Where can I add value? Where can I be part of the social capital that will help everyone, especially those that are struggling, have that opportunity for upward mobility and human dignity and really human flourishing? So lots to think about there. Great piece there. We'll go ahead and step aside for one last break. We'll come back with some final thoughts on Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.